This gentle prophet, President Boyd K. Packer, acting president of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles.
I first met Gordon B. Hinckley more than 50 years ago. I'd been called as an assistant to the Twelve in the same conference he was sustained as a member of the Quorum of the Twelve. His first words at the pulpit were, "I know what I have not cut, that I have not come along this road alone, and feel very grateful for the many men and women, good men and women, those here today and those who have served. The wonderful people whose names I do not remember have helped me." Gordon B. Hinckley first arrived at church headquarters on his way home from his mission in England. He had been asked by his mission president to report to the First Presidency, President Heber J. Grant, David O. McKay, and J. Reuben Clark, Jr. The 15-minute meeting lasted over an hour. He was asked to serve as secretary to the New Church Mission Literature Committee. He was on his own to wrestle about and find an empty office somewhere. A friend whose father owned an office supply store gave him an old warped table. He put a block of wood under the short leg. He brought his own typewriter from home. He went to the supply room and asked for a ream of paper and was asked, "Do you have any idea how many sheets of paper in a ream?" He replied, "Yes, 500 sheets. What in the world do you suppose you're going to do with 500 sheets of paper?" He answered, "I'm going to write on them, one sheet at a time." He never stopped writing. For years, I've had a weekly meeting with President Hinckley. Often, I found him at his desk writing out his talks in longhand. My first assignment as an assistant of the 12 was an assistant to Elder Hinckley in the missionary department. Soon thereafter, he left to tour the missions in Europe with President Henry D. Moyle. After he returned, he told me that one of the hardest things he had ever had to do happened in Dusseldorf. On their last evening in Europe, President Moyle hosted a dinner for the missionaries, including Elder Hinckley's son, Richard. Elder Hinckley said goodbye to his son at the hotel. He said to watch Richard walk away with his companion into the cold, dark night was the hardest thing he'd ever had to do. He wept as he told me about it. Brother Hinckley's extraordinary intelligence and his incredible memory were immediately apparent, but I had learned something else more important. I had seen inside of Elder Gordon B. Hinckley. He's always been a very private person, and only occasionally does one see inside of him. In trying to describe President Hinckley's ability to communicate, I recalled a few years ago traveling in Pakistan with Elder Jacob D. Auger, one of the 70, who was referred to as our happy, smiling Dutchman. Our host was Mr. Suleiman Habib, a longtime friend and prominent banking family in Karachi. One day, Suleiman took us out to the city, to the countryside, to see one of his farms. We came upon a large group of laborers, poorly dressed, building a road with pick and shovel. They spoke in the Urdu language neither Jacob nor I had ever heard before. The cart hardly stopped when Jacob was out of the door. He mingled with the laborers. Suleiman watched him intently, then turned to me and said, "That man can communicate with the Urdu people better than I can." A moment later, he added, "That man could charm a donkey or a king." Whatever power of communication and charm Suleiman saw in Jacob D. Auger was found in a rich major in Gordon B. Hinckley. There came to my office one day an Islamic cleric who was in Salt Lake City to receive treatment at the Moran Eye Center. I arranged for an audience at the First Presidency. Dr. Abdurrahman Wahid, much like President Hinckley, had a sparkling sense of humor. Accompanying Dr. Waheed was Dr. Alwi Shihab, a professor of Islamic studies at Harvard University. In that meeting, Dr. Waheed mentioned that he had been asked to run for the office of President of Indonesia. "If I'm elected," Dr. Waheed said, "Alwi Shihab will be my foreign minister." President Hinckley said, "If you decide to run and you're elected, I'll come to visit you in Jakarta." He was elected, and we did go to Jakarta, where Brother Hinckley was guest of honor at a dinner given at the presidential palace. The first message of condolence I received on the death of President Hinckley was from Alwi Shihab. And yesterday there arrived a very large floral tribute from President Waheed, former president of Indonesia. I have regarded this power of communication and charm of President Hinckley as simply brotherly love and humility. It was always apparent, whether he was with the laborers on a dusty road or a banquet in a presidential palace, it was there. President Hinckley grew up schooled in the doctrines of the gospel. His roots go back to Coe Fort in central Utah. Restored, it stands now much as it did when in pioneer days when his grandfather built it. Much of President Hinckley's growth I attribute to his wife, Marjorie Pay Hinckley, who was patient with a man who was always on the go, always 10 steps ahead of her. For example, one evening he was packing for an overseas trip the following morning. Marjorie asked, "Well, am I going with you?" He responded, "We don't have to decide that right now." He knew, as we all should know, that the doctrines of Jesus Christ are synonymous with family. Succession to the presidency of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is a remarkable process. Always the senior apostle becomes president, and the next senior apostle becomes the president of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Outlined in the revelations are truths and instruction by which the brethren administer the church. Whatever the crisis or whatever the opportunity, the directions and guidance can be found in the verses of the scripture. No one who has known the order of things speculates on who will be the next president of the church. It has always been the pattern. There's no aspiring for position, no avoiding the Lord's will. Gordon B. Hinckley did not seek the many calls and assignments that came to him, but he did not shy away either. One of the earliest revelations, the Lord said, that every man might speak in the name of God the Lord, even the Savior of the world, that the weak things of the world shall come forth and break down the mighty and strong ones. With the church growing very rapidly worldwide, we often go to distant places to organize or reorganize a unit of the church, sometimes when the church is very new. We are asked, "Where on earth will you find the new leaders?" We don't have to find them. They're already there, just as Gordon B. Hinckley was there. The Lord provides them. They are serving faithfully and paying for the privilege and tithes and offerings. In a separate ordinance following baptism, members of the church have conferred upon them the Holy Ghost, which the scriptures explain will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. The Holy Ghost is the inspirer. The inspiration is always there, and if you learn to live with it and can work with it and for it. One of the things President Hinckley understood best is the word family. It's not difficult to find statements on the family in his sermons and talks and counsel, whether large congregations or individuals or more practically with family. I pay tribute to the family of Gordon Bittner and Marjorie Pay Hinckley. They can be described as ideal. they, like their father, are unassuming. Whatever prominence that has come to them does not show any more than it was visible in him. In the cemetery, not far from here, there's a headstone with Marjorie Pay Hinckley engraved on it. And beside her now, engraved the name of Gordon Bittner Hinckley. When Mary approached the tomb of Jesus, an angel said, "He is not here, he is risen." In due course, it can be said to Gordon Bittner Hinckley and Marjorie Pay Hinckley, they are not here, they are risen together. May our Father bless the memory of this gentle prophet and his eternal companion, and the sacred work over which he presided, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.